If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to two places, Isaiah chapter 1 and Mark chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and Mark chapter 1. And we have been, for I would say for the past year, we've been going through books of the Bible, and we just are coming out of a season of casting some vision. For those of you that don't know, we recently changed our name to Dwelling House Church and shared really what the Lord is speaking to us in this season about being a house of prayer, a house of presence, and a house for people. And as I was praying, there's some things that I wanted to get into, books of the Bible that are my all-time favorites, and I say that every time, so it's not really probably a thing, but I really felt like the Lord wanted us to talk a little bit about repentance. Everybody say repentance. It's important for us to have a strong understanding of what repentance is and what repentance is not. I think we take it for granted, and because of our misconceptions or our misunderstanding, it can oftentimes become something that we either don't do, we don't think we need to do, or when we do it, it becomes very religious or Jesus-less. It doesn't include the person of Jesus as we confess our sins and as we bring those things to the Lord. And I want to talk today specifically about the gift of repentance. How many of you know it is a gift to be able to repent, to confess our sins? Because how many of you know he is faithful to forgive us our sins? And so what a privilege, what a joy, what a gift it is to repent. And so I want to open up in Isaiah, starting at chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 16, and I'm going to ask that we would read this out loud together. In fact, can we all stand this morning? Can we stand together as we read the word this morning? We're just going to open with this. You can read along in your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to have it on screen, but I'm going to ask that we read this out loud together. Ready? Go. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You can be seated. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Though your sins are like scarlet, you can sit. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. How many of you are thankful for that promise? You know, scripture says there is no one righteous, not one. How many of you know we all need to have a lifestyle of repentance? That it really is a daily thing. It's a daily life. And it's not always the obvious thing. Sometimes I even ask the Lord, Lord, would you search me? Right? Anybody been there? Where, Lord, would you search me? What are the things that are in my heart, the things that are in my life that I'm not even aware of that are actually preventing me from approaching you or seeing you or hearing you? Because how many of you know we can pick things up in this world? We hear things, right? If you go to school and you're walking through the hallways, you hear things. Maybe you've seen things, right? Or you're at work and there's complaining or gossiping and there's all these things. We pick things up that change our hearts and our attitudes. And so sometimes there's things that's like, Lord, would you just search me? And Lord, would you show me the things, Lord, that I need to lay at your feet today? Because I don't want anything between me and you. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as wool, as white as snow. Listen to Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 14. It says, now this is talking about Jesus. It says, after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. You know, when we talk about repentance, I believe that there's sometimes a dilution of its potency, a dilution of the power that actually is involved when we repent, when we bring those things to the Lord. Some would say that repentance is simply a change of mind. But then because we don't define what the mind is, we don't actually even really know what that means. But scripture actually speaks about the understanding or the mind of our heart. And so there is this deeper place on the inside, this core of who we are. And repentance really is a turning, a shifting on the inside to the very being of who we are, where we turn away from the things of this world and the things that would keep us from God, and we turn towards the Lord Jesus himself. There should be a shift that should take place. And so repentance actually means a deep change in the deepest place. I think sometimes we think that repentance is merely just the confession of our sins. Lord, I did this, I did that, I did this. Lord, would you forgive me, right? Or I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for what you've done. But really, repentance is at the core of who I am. With everything I am, there is an altercation, a shifting. It's almost a violent word of moving and turning around and going in the complete opposite direction. So there should be a shift that takes place, and that shift is to completely turn away from all that is not God and completely in my core turn to God. Repentance doesn't mean that I just think a little bit differently. Repentance doesn't mean, I'm just going to stop doing that one sin, but I'm just going to keep entertaining the other sins, the other things that I struggle with in my life. How many of you know that's really the power of an altar call? You know, we sometimes we'll have people come up, and how many of you know there is power when our bodies, our physical bodies, come into align with what is going on in the core of who we are. It's why we lift our hands, right? Scripture says, lift your hands and bless the Lord, right? The reason we move our bodies, the reason we will move ourselves oftentimes is because there is power in moving or aligning our physical bodies with what is happening inside of us. Are you guys with me? And so there is power behind these things, and there's something powerfully, specifically with an altar call, where you are aligning those things and you are publicly declaring that I am stepping out of this life and I am moving towards Jesus. I'm stepping away from my former patterns. I'm stepping away from my former life. I'm turning away from this world and I'm coming to Jesus. Does that make sense? There's power when we align our physical bodies with what the Lord is doing on the inside. And so true repentance in the deepest place shows us the darkness of what I put my heart to, of what I put my mind to or my actions to, and I turn from it and I give everything to the Lord Jesus. Let me just say this, even when you don't understand it. How many of you know the Lord knows more than you do? And there's things that you will read in Scripture that will challenge you. But how many of you know Scripture says his ways are higher than your ways? His understanding is greater than your understanding. And if we really believe that God loves us, if we really believe that God wants the very best for us, will you choose to obey and to trust the Lord according to his word? That means what he says goes. I may not fully understand it, I may not fully like it, but I can promise you this, as you continue to surrender to the Lord, your heart, and you come to his word and receive him humbly. Everybody say humbly. What does that mean? I'm lowering myself and I'm exalting you. I'm lowering my thinking, I'm lowering my understanding, and I'm exalting your way. If you will consistently do that, he will shape you, he will transform you, and you will grow closer to knowing who God is and what he has for your life. Somebody say amen. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's called sanctification. It is the process of becoming not just a better person, it is becoming like him. To where you're now talking the way he talks. You're saying things like he says. You're seeing people the way he sees them. Can I tell you what one of my, I believe it's a gift that the Lord's given, not just me, but the whole church, and this is something that's available to everybody, but there is very few things that are more powerful than actually just seeing somebody. Do you get what I mean? Where you slow your feet and you allow yourself to be interrupted from your doing and you see people the way God sees them. And when that happens, there is this disarming, this healing that begins to happen. You can see it all the time. You see them and you begin to speak God's plans, God's purposes, God's truth over them. That's a powerful moment. Are you guys with me this morning? Is this okay? We're talking about the gift of repentance. And so notice that Jesus, he comes on the scene after John the Baptist, his cousin, was put into prison. And he shows up and Jesus says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's say that last part together. The kingdom of God is at hand. Say it again. The kingdom of God is at hand. Why would Jesus say this? You see, the Jews had an understanding that there was a kingdom that was coming. There was a prophecy, and it was in Scripture, it was declared, it was passed down, that a Messiah was coming. And the Messiah was coming to rule eternally. And they were waiting for this Messiah, although they expected him to do differently than he did. But they knew that that a kingdom was coming, and they were oppressed at the time with a false kingdom. How many of you know similarly today, this world is oppressed by a dark kingdom that has been destroyed by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? But listen, that kingdom is only enjoyed by those who are repentant. There is a kingdom that is available to us. There is a kingdom available, but it is only available to those who are repentant. How many of you know there's not multiple ways to the Father? Did you know that? There's only one. I've heard people say, well, I don't like that way. And I say, you should be thankful that he made a way. There's only one way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. People will say, well, I worship God. Well, my question would be, which one? The one true God. There's one way to the Father. There's not multiple ways, and the message to this world is louder than ever before. And it is our one message. It's the one message of the church. It's the one message that we bring, which is Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, raised again, coming back in glory to judge the living and the dead. The message to the world is Jesus. The message to the church is Jesus. Therefore, repentance is for the world, but how many of you know repentance is also for the church? Somebody say amen. Amen. Unless you can live a life without mistakes, you need to repent. And let me tell you, it is a blessing and it is a gift. It is a holy moment with the Lord. It is something that has been given that you would bring the things that have held you down, the burdens, the weights, the guilt, the shame, that you can lay all those things at the feet of Jesus. And because he is faithful and just, when we confess our sin, he cleanses us and washes us of all our sin. So why did Jesus say the kingdom of God is at hand? It is because he was at hand. You know, when we're talking about the kingdom of God can very simply be defined as wherever the king is. The kingdom is the king. Everybody say that. The kingdom is the king. It's the reality that the king is present. And so Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because I'm right here. Because I'm available, because I'm within reach. How many of you know the only appropriate response when the kingdom of God is at hand is to repent? When Jesus is available, we repent. We recognize our need for him. We recognize, I don't have it all together. I'm not even worthy to be within your vicinity. But because of what you've done, I can boldly enter in. Somebody say amen. By the blood of Jesus, and draw near to you. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But the only appropriate response when the kingdom is at hand is to repent, to turn from everything that is not God, from the things that blind me, from the things that hold me down. And when we repent, our eyes are opened. Oh, what a beautiful thing to be able to behold the glory of the Lord. To not just have an understanding that God is real, that Jesus died, and I theologically agree with that in my head. How many of you know there's more to it? That the kingdom is not just an eternal reality. The kingdom is not just you die and you go to heaven. No, how many of you know his kingdom is to be experienced right now? And so oftentimes we say, well, I've been saved by grace, and because of that, my position is that I'm an heir of righteousness. So do I even need to repent? The answer is yes, because you need him right now. And so often we leave our encounters with the Lord as a position, but not as an experience. The Lord wants you to experience him. Right now, say amen. Amen. And so our eyes are opened when we repent. I cannot have my eyes opened if I'm addicted to the darkness. If I constantly choose that, and I constantly choose to remain in those things, I cannot have my eyes opened. But when I look to Jesus, how many of you know Jesus is a consuming fire? In other words, he will consume every part that does not bring honor to him, that would keep you from him, that would keep your heart from his. And he consumes all those parts when we repent and we fix our eyes on him. He cleanses us. He consumes every part, and he burns away those things that blind us, those things that hold me, so that we can see him more clearly. And so Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. These go hand in hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We're not just talking about mental agreement. It's to be experienced. But the only way that we can see is to repent, so that the cross, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, all that becomes real to me. I'm not just agreeing theologically. It's in the core of who I am. That he is mine and I am his. This isn't just a doctrine or a statement of faith. This is meant to be a reality, and repentance is the way to get there. I have some statements that I just want to read because honestly, I had too much to say. I have some statements about repentance. Number one, only repentant sinners who are granted forgiveness are set on fire with love for Jesus. Maybe you wonder, why is there no fire in my heart for Jesus? There might be a repentance issue. Because when you have been forgiven, how many of you know your eyes are opened to the gravity of what you've been saved from? If we truly understand the depths of his grace and the greatness, the immense power of his forgiveness, it would set us ablaze in our love, in our passion for him. Amen? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, when we truly humble ourselves, and we turn from our sins and we turn to him, he is faithful and just to forgive. This tells us several things. Number one, he is faithful. Say he's faithful. He's faithful. There is no one better to go to in your weakness, in your pain, in your hurt, in your shame, than the Lord Jesus. Because he is faithful. He will receive you every time. But what is required is a humble heart that says, Lord, I'm coming to you again. I'm coming to you again. How often should we repent? As much as it takes. If it's 100 times in a day, do it 100 times in a day. But get before the Lord Jesus. Are you with me? Because he is faithful. He's faithful. He will receive you every time when we come by the blood of Jesus. Number two, he is just. Everybody say, he is just. How many of you know your forgiveness is what, not what you earn? It's definitely not what you deserve. He is just, and your sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus. It has accounted you as righteous. And so when you come and you bring those dark things and you bring those bad thoughts and you bring those things that are out of alignment with his will for your life and you say, Lord, I confess this. Lord, would you take this from me and bring healing to me? Would you wash me? Would you cleanse my mind, cleanse my thinking? He is just and you are justified by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Number three, he cleanses us. Aren't you thankful that he doesn't just say you're forgiven and then leaves you with the stuff? He washes us. Oh, this is so beautifully pictured when Jesus begins to wash the feet of the disciples. And they say, I shouldn't be washing. You can't wash my feet. I should be washing yours. And he says, no, let me do this. I believe the Lord is saying to some of you, would you let me forgive you? Would you bring your sin to me? I heard a pastor share a story, and he was talking about how he was on fire, and he began to just seek the Lord and ask the Lord, and he's like, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And the Lord spoke to him. He said, give me your sin. That's powerful. The Lord wants nothing more than to make you right, for you to come before him and to repent of your sins and to be one with him. 1 John 4:19 says this. It says, we love him because he first loved us. When we repent and we're forgiven, how many of you know it is a demonstration of his love for us? Amen? His forgiveness is a demonstration of his love for us. Amen? And when we receive forgiveness, it deepens our love and our affection for him. So why do we sit with our sin? Why do we sit with the things that hold us and bind us? Because if you sit with them for too long, it will crush you. I've heard many people say, well, it doesn't matter how many times I sin, I can just keep asking for forgiveness. If you sit with your sin, it will harden you and it will crush you. It is important. Fake repentance is a real issue. That's what Pharaoh did. Pharaoh would say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'll let you guys go. And then what would he do? He wouldn't do it. And so the Lord would bring judgment and things would happen. And then what did Pharaoh do? I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he would go right back to it. Listen. How many of you know repentance should be sincere? It's not something that we just go through. It's not just going through the motions. It's a sincere thing in our hearts where we're bringing those things to the Lord. Number two, a life without repentance is a life where heaven does not draw near. Jesus directly linked repentance to the nearness of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Number three, a life without repentance lacks joy. If there's not joy in your life, there might be a repentance issue. I'm going to say it again. If there's a lack of joy, there might be a repentance issue. Because the radiance of joy is missing in those who refuse to repent. When we don't repent, our hearts get hard and there is all of a sudden there is no song in our heart. There's no adoration. There's no praise. I don't even want to go to church. I don't want to sing to the Lord. I don't need to stand. I don't need to lift my hands. How many of you know not repenting is pride? Not admitting that you need him, it is pride. And scripture says God resists the proud. He hates it. And it's one of the few things that scripture says he hates. And so when we come before him and we say, well, I don't need to do that. I don't want to do this. If there's not joy in your life because of what Jesus has done, that he has set you free, That freedom is available because of what he's done for you, because of the love that was demonstrated on the cross. If that doesn't set your heart on fire, you got something to confess. You got something to bring to the Lord. Amen? Acts 13, 19 says this. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." It is no mistake that every revival that takes place that I've read about, it always starts with repentance. And I'm not just talking about like, oh yeah, I repent of my sin, thank you for forgiving me. No, I'm talking about people crying to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I need you. I can't carry this. I can't do this without you. Would you fill me with your spirit that I might walk worthy of you?" And when there is a church, when people align and unify their hearts with that heart and begin to call on the name of Jesus, how many of you know that's when things start moving? Because he is faithful and just to forgive us. And when we are forgiven, what happens? Praise begins to erupt. "Oh, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. There's a new song in my heart." Amen? "Repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." If there's a joy deficiency, there might just be a repentance deficiency. Because repentance is a prerequisite for obtaining forgiveness. But when forgiveness is received, how many of you know? There's salvation and there's joy. Number four, to be spiritually alive is to live in repentance. To be spiritually alive is to live in repentance. Let me say this another way. Those who have repented now have the joy of repenting. It's a constant. We have repented so that we can continually repent. How many of you know this is holy living? And how often should we repent? As often as is needed. Amen? Number five, repentance is the return from the unnatural to the natural state of who we've been created to be. How many of you know it is unnatural for believers to live in sin? I'm going to say it again because I'm not sure you got that. It is unnatural for believers to live in sin. It is natural for unbelievers to live in sin. In fact, I think the church gets disappointed so often because unbelievers act like unbelievers. But it is not natural for believers to live in sin. Repentance is the returning from what is not natural to being naturally who God has called you to be. To live the life that he's prepared for you. How many of you know that is what is natural? Because what? Scripture says, "The old things have passed. Behold, all things have been made new." That is our rightful place. That is who we are. Amen? Are you guys okay? Number six, repentance must be sincere. How do we know if our repentance is sincere? It is joined with a broken heart for the sin. Somebody that I'm close to was sharing how they were hurt with somebody, and things have been made right. But for about 4 days, they were living with the wound of this hurt. They weren't treated well, and they were living for 4 days convicted of this other person's sin. And when I was talking to them, they said, "I was convicted in my heart because I can't remember the last time I sinned and was convicted for 4 days." It's a lot easier for us to point at other people's sin and to keep pointing the finger. Listen, if you are more obsessed with other people's sin and need for repentance, you need to repent all the more. Amen? But how do we know if our repentance is sincere? It's because our heart is broken at our sin. God has feelings. Did you know that? Scripture will say things like God was grieved. He was saddened. And when we sin, it's not just No, it hurts his heart when we choose anything besides him. But I'm here to tell you, when we repent, he is faithful. He is just. I love the picture. How many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? You guys remember that one? We're not going to go there. But the son demands his inheritance, goes out and lives the prodigal life, parties, does all these things, lives a sinful life, and he loses everything. I mean, you know, when we go our way and we live apart from Jesus, we lose a lot of things. But so scripture says the son returned to his home, and the father was out in the field, and he was looking for the son. Did you know that God cannot wait for you to come to him? To bring you as you are, because all of us have broken places. All of us have struggles. But he is looking for you when you look to him and he runs to you. He didn't just wait for the son, he ran to the son. And I think so often we get so bogged down in our guilt and our shame that we say, I can't even go to the Lord. I've heard people say, I can't even step foot in a church because he'll strike me with lightning, right? I'm like, if he wanted to strike you with lightning, you'd be struck, okay? Like, this church ain't going to stop that from happening. Funny. What was I talking about? The Lord is just so easy. His burden is so light. And what often keeps us from coming is just the pride in our heart that would say, I don't have to do it his way. There's other ways. There's only one way. And he's made it so easy, and he's looking so longingly for us all to look to him, to draw near with open hearts, and to just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. In fact, can we all just stand, and I'm going to have Zach come out. Because this is the last statement I wanted to make about repentance. Repentance is to unify with the will of God. I'm going to say it again. Repentance is to unify with the will of God. That you would bring yourself humbly before him and say, Lord, I give this to you. And so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like us to close our eyes this morning. And I just want to ask some questions. Are you living a life of repentance? Are there things in your life that you refuse to repent of? Are there things in your life that you're a slave to? You know, sometimes we say, like, well, everybody struggles, and we rationalize our sin. But darkness cannot be rationalized with. If you give the devil an inch, he'll take 10 miles. Jesus came and paid for all sin. That your sin, though you are as scarlet, if you would call on the name of Jesus, he will make you white as snow. That means there is no blemish, there is no spot. Scripture says that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Do not rationalize your sin. Don't rationalize the struggle. Is the struggle real? It's real, but Jesus is greater. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is greater. And so here's what I want us to do. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord this morning? To the one who is the name above all names, to the one that died, was buried, was resurrected, and has ascended into heaven at the highest place. Literally, proof of his ascension is proof of his glory and his righteous rule and reign. He is the name above. And so here's what I would like for us to do is just begin to call on Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, wash me. Cleanse me. I want more of you, Lord. I want to see you, Lord, to know you, to hear your voice, to be filled with joy of my salvation again. There's a mistake that some believers will make that I can wait for tomorrow. I don't need to deal with this today. I'm going to take a break from God. I'm going to do my own thing for a little bit and then I'll come. But this is the most foolish thing. Because to be absent from the Lord is to invite darkness. It's to invite pain. It's to invite the shackles that this world brings, the addictions and the bondages. Scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't wait for tomorrow. Bring it to the Lord today. Confess your sins to the Lord today. Repent today. Turn from the things that have kept you from him today. Don't tolerate sin. Don't allow for those things to become the normal. That is not your normal. He has called you out of the darkness. He has brought you out of the miry pit, and he has set you on a rock. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church, just begin to thank Jesus. Just begin to thank him right now. He's here. Jesus, we thank you. We love you. Just keep talking to him. Keep talking to him. I would like for us this morning if there's things in your life that you need to leave behind, if there's things that you need to leave and you need to move to Jesus today, I'm gonna invite us to come forward and come to the altar today. This space right up front here. Because as I said, there is something powerful that takes place when we align our bodies to what the Lord is doing in our spirit, to what he's doing on the inside. And it's true, yes, we can confess our sin and be made right, but listen, we're not just talking about being forgiven. We're talking about being set free. Somebody say amen. We're talking about being set free by the blood of Jesus. We're talking about moving ourselves into alignment with who he is and what he's done. And so I'm going to ask, if there's things in your life that you need to leave behind, things that you've rationalized, things that you've accepted that the enemy has said, this is just the way it's always going to be. It is a lie from the pit of hell. I'm going to ask that you would leave those things and that we would come forward. Come right now. There's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no judgment, but begin to come forward, fill this place, and come to Jesus. And as you come, just say, I'm leaving those things behind. I'm leaving them behind. And I'm coming to the Lord Jesus. There's no better place to be than at the feet of Jesus. There's no better place to be. There's no better place to come than to the cross. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Give him your weakness. Give him your struggle. Give him your pain. Just begin to talk to the Lord. If you're up here, just begin to say, Lord, I give you this. Lord, I confess. I confess this pride that has kept me from you. I confess, Lord, this anger. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, would you blow through this place? Andrea, can you begin to just lay hands on people and begin to pray over them? Thank you, Lord. Church, let's begin. Continue to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your mercy is unending. You love your people. And repentance is an invitation into your love. Oh, the gift of repentance. It's an invitation to be free from that which destroys. It's an invitation to be free from shame and guilt. Wonderful Holy Spirit, fall on your people today. Fall on your people today. Fill them, Lord Jesus. Fill them to overflowing, Lord. Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. Lord, it's not by our efforts, Lord. We can't save ourselves. We can't claw out of the pit. We can't claw out of the darkness. Lord, you are the one who pulls us up. And so, Lord, we call on you, Lord, and we say, Lord, come. Fill your people with power. Fill your people with your Spirit. Fill us with strength, Lord Jesus. And do your work, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that scripture says you will complete the work. You will finish the work. And Lord, as you laid there dying on the cross, as you were nailed, Lord, you uttered those words, it is finished. It is done. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our sin is no more. Lord, that those things, those struggles, those addictions, break them off in the name of Jesus. Wash over your people. Break them, Lord. Those shackles be loosed in the name of Jesus. Be loose in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, continue to confess to the Lord. Continue to bring it to the feet and let him wash over you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask that you all repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive my ways. Forgive me for grieving you. Forgive me for breaking your holy law. For breaking your heart. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. That is my only hope. But you are happy to forgive me. You are happy to forgive me. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I repent today. And I turn from the world. I turn from my sin. And I put all of my trust in you. You are the one that I look to. You're the one that I adore. Set my heart ablaze for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just worship the Lord. We're going to stay in an atmosphere of worship. Let's just sing this chorus, actually.
Everything, God, you are
Lord. Oh God, you are. What a God, what a God. What a God, what a God. Thank you, Lord. Keep worshiping the Lord. Extend our hands and just begin to continue to pray. If you've received your spiritual language, just continue to pray in the Spirit this morning.
Whole heart surrender.
Thank you, Lord.
Lay down flow freely, at your feet. Jesus. Lay down at your feet. Oh, we surrender.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we surrender.
Yes, Lord. We surrender.
Whole hearts.
will, but your will, Lord. Tell him again. You can't tell him enough. Just tell him again, Lord, I love you. Lord, it never grows old. It never grows tired. Lord, we love you. Lord, it's what you long for. It's what you are looking for. Lord, just our heart, just our affection. Lord, we would not be pulled by the world, but Lord, that we would be moved by your Spirit. Lord, as we go forth from this place, Lord, we say, Lord, continue to move, continue to work. Lord, do your work, Lord, as we live completely surrendered before you. And Lord, we say, have your way. Lord, not our will, but yours be done. Your kingdom come. Lord, we want the presence of the King in our lives. Lord, we want the presence of the King in our workplace. We want the presence of the King in our schools, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord, and do what only you can do. Gather your people, draw them in, Lord, that all would see Jesus lifted up. There's none like you. You are wonderful. We give you our worship. We give you our worship.
Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God belongs escapes from death. Our son died, and that was a daily burden, so heavy. And I know that's not the only kind of burden there is. But when we approach God, when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And I got this picture of how, you know, he says, my yoke is easy. And when we choose to be yoked to him, we might still be holding this burden for a while. But as we walk with him and rejoice in him and trust that he is good, I find we lose our grip on the burden. That the burden is somehow amazingly transferred to him. And we walk stronger and more complete. And all we had to do was come to him and believe he is good and he is trustworthy. And this transfer was accomplished at the cross when he took it all for us. that we can become free. And he who has the Son is free indeed. Lord God, thank you for your compassion that is never failing. Thank you that your balm is enough to heal our wounds and fill in the empty spaces that we feel. Thank you that your goodness never ends. Thank you that your mercy is new every day. When we wake up yet another morning feeling our burden, you don't abandon us. You don't say, well, how long? Thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you that as we put our eyes on you and allow you to put your arm around us, that burden can evaporate from us, be transferred to you. And that is when it can be thrown into the deepest sea and is no longer on our shoulders. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
If you need to stay here, you're welcome to stay. If you need to go, you're dismissed. And if you want to have a conversation, you're welcome. We'll just do it out there. But if you need to stay in worship, you're welcome to stay in worship for some time, as long as you need. But how many of you are thankful for the love of Jesus? Amen. Yeah, it's wonderful. He's wonderful. We love you guys. Let's continue to worship. Mike, you continue singing. She'll sing us out.